This week on It's So Bad, we're adding our first Taito game to the endless list. The storied developer of Space Invaders, Jungle Hunt, Kix, Mr. Do, and a whole bunch of other arcades. This week we're adding Bubble Bobble to our endless list on It's So Bad. So Chris, welcome.
Michael, hello.
Matt, what do you want to go by? Do we want to go by another Matt? Matt 2? New Matt?
I am not sure. I could always go by my gamer tag on Xbox.
Well, it depends on what it
is. It's Radimus.
Radimus?
Yeah, you like that?
We're more of a first name people here.
All right,
let's go with Matt with three T's.
No. Matt with three T's? You're Matt 2.0. You're like Matt Hardy.
Yeah, Matt 2.0.
Right. Matt 2.0. That works. Why not?
So, welcome, Matt 2.0.
Thank you for having me.
To the podcast. We are talking about Bubble Bobble this week on the podcast, suggested by you, Chris.
Yep, because we're in a little bit of a pinch, so I thought of...
it's an easy game to get through.
I thought of some easy games we could get through.
What's Bubble Bobble?
Bubble Bobble is a classic early arcade game, and, you know, I think a lot of people probably remember it on the NES growing up.
Uh-huh.
It's, you play as a dragon or two dragons if you're playing two player. And you...
Are they dragons or are they dinosaurs?
They are bubble dragons.
Bubble dragons.
That is what you were turned into in the lore. Okay. You were turned into bubble dragons.
We're going to talk about bubble bubble lore? I hope we do.
I don't know how deep we're going to get on that, but yeah. But I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole reading about the bubble bubble lore. But so it's essentially a arcade-y puzzle game where you...
Would you call it a puzzle game? I think it's more like an action platformer.
Oh, my God. Well, you want me to fucking describe it, and you're just not letting me describe it. So, but essentially, you as a bubble dragon, you can spray bubbles that...
Let's just keep saying bubble dragons.
Yeah, that capture your enemies, and then you have to pop the bubbles with your enemies inside.
When
you defeat all the enemies, you move on to the next stage.
And you get more points for popping more in a row.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
And then you have to pick up all these different fruits and vegetables and desserts and liquor. For some reason, there's beer.
Well, the boss of the game is super drunk.
Yeah, it is. It is super drunk.
He throws empty bottles at you.
Quick fast forward here. You find out in the good ending that Super Drunk is revealed to be the brother's dragon, Bubble Dragon, parents under the spell of some outside influence, in quotes.
Right, he's someone else. There's someone else pulling the strings.
Yeah, but he's super drunk and he
doesn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah,
he's under the influence of something.
Yeah. I didn't realize he's revealed to be your parents. I thought
that's the good ending. You got the bad ending.
Oh, I know, but
it's pretty dumb. This is one of the first games with like couple endings, and so the bad ending is if you beat it on single player. And if you beat it with two players, you get the good ending.
Yeah. What if you don't have any friends?
Then you're fucked.
Come on.
Because the guy who made this, his name is Fukio Mitsuji, and he wanted to have this be a couples game.
Yeah, I read that.
For like a boyfriend and a girlfriend. And so you would not find love if you beat this game just single player. It'd just be a bad experience.
Boy, like if you were already feeling bad about yourself,
yeah,
and then you went through this game by yourself and it got that ending.
It says bad end too.
Yeah, like I read that too about like the concept of being like a couples game. Like that makes a lot of sense to me, like in an arcade sense. Like
yeah.
It's okay, like you're trying to get, you know, you're trying to get more women into the arcade to play games, and it's like, you know, cute little date thing. But, you know, once it hit like the home consoles, I think you could probably do away with that.
Right.
You know.
So this game came out in 1986 in the arcades, 87 on the NES. And it was a Taito game. So Taito's, as I mentioned in the intro, is a pretty storied developer. 1978, they made Space Invaders. And I don't know if you know this, Chris, but Space Invaders basically like started the video game phenomenon in Japan. So it's the reason mm-hmm. why so many people got interested in video games back then. It wasn't like they got into I think for here it was Pong was like the
catalyst,
but over there it was Space Invaders. So Taito is pretty well known. Space Invaders, I mentioned at the outset. I also mentioned Jungle Hunt, Kicks, Mr. Do. They've also done 10-Yard Fight, Legend of Kage, which is the Legend of Cage, if you've never heard of that. Ninja Kid, Tiger Heli, Kiki Kiki Kai Kai, which is a game we should talk about at some time. It's really good. Darius, Operation Wolf, Rastan, Arkanoid, the Ninja Warriors, and it goes on and on and on and on and on forever.
It's for the most part a good list.
Yeah, and I mean, they published...
10-Yard Fight's the only one that kind of sticks out there. Yeah. I go, oh boy.
They also published a ton. So they published like Double Dragon and Renegade.
Yeah.
And the Kunio-kun games, but they didn't make those. That was Technos.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're pretty prolific Famicom developers slash publishers. The guy who made it, Mitsuji, he also worked on Super Dead Heat. Do you know that? Or Halley's Comet?
I've heard of Halley's Comet, not Super Dead Heat.
It's a shooter. Hmm. He then worked on Rainbow Islands, which is Bubble Bobble 2 and Darius 2. But he joined the company, what's the company, Taito, because he saw what Namco was doing with like Pac-Land and all those colorful platformers and stuff. And they were like, well, we need to do something like that for... here at Taito. So he made this game, Bubble Bobble. And it's probably one of the best co-op NES games.
That's kind of my memories of it. I mean, I feel like this is a game like a lot of my friends had growing up. I mean, I had it too, but I feel like a lot of my friends had it too. And I remember like never beating it with one of my friends, obviously not because I never got the good ending. But yeah. I do remember there's plenty of times I've like play through probably like the first like 30 levels with like my friends like growing up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's one of those like fun co-op games.
Yeah, and we should mention that there are 100 levels.
There are.
But you can skip over a whole bunch if you get a warp. Did you, in your most recent playthrough, did you get a warp?
No, so I do like that there's like a lot of like hidden power-ups and stuff like that. The best I ever got was a couple power-ups that basically clear the level for you. And then you just move on to the next one, but I never got any.
Waterfall power-up's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think all the power-ups generally are pretty cool, except for the shoes. It sucks to go fast in this game.
Yes. Do you know there's 40 different power-ups to collect? 40.
Is that including like the...
That includes warps and stuff.
Yeah.
So they have some that fires the ball a longer distance, some that are level skips, some that are kill all the enemies on the screen, some that increase the bubble firing speed. Mm-hmm. So there's like a lot of different ways you can upgrade yourself. I should also mention too, you played this on the NES. I've beaten this on the NES, but most recently I played this via the Taito Collection on the PS2, which I believe is the arcade version.
Is it much different?
No, it was surprising. It's pretty faithful to the NES one. I think they could do a little bit more on the arcade side.
Sure, yeah. Well, yeah.
And it looked a little bit better, but the music's the same. It's the very catchy single song that plays over and over and over again.
I was actually thinking about when I played it, because I think it took me about maybe 2.5 hours to beat the game. Maybe a little bit longer. I wasn't keeping track, but I remember going like, I was like, this one song playing over and over and over again, and I never got like sick of it.
It's an iconic tune. Like if you told me Bubble Bobble, immediately I know what song it is you're talking about. What it is. So yeah, we mentioned arcade, NES, but this game also came out on the Amiga, the Commodore 64, the Game Boy, the Game Gear, the Sharp X6800 or 68000, GBC, Sega Saturn, PS1, FM Towns, also on the Taito Legends, which is on the PS2, Xbox, Windows, the 3DS, you can download it on the eShop, and it's on the NES Classic as well.
Hmm.
So it is everywhere, and is just a very classic game that everybody has probably played in the past at one time or another.
I have not played it.
You've never played it. Never played Bubble Bobble.
I was shocked.
My favorite co-op game for Nintendo was Wrecking Crew.
Wrecking Crew, bro, yep. Really?
Yep.
That's a co-op game too.
Yep.
I never realized it was a co-op game. I like that game a lot, but is not. I never play a co-op. I've never played a co-op.
Yep.
I bet it's much easier if you play a co-op.
Probably is. Yeah.
Well, it depends on who you're playing with, because if you hit the bombs at the wrong time, you can fuck the other person up pretty badly too.
Yeah. That game's dope, though. Yeah. I only discovered that game like in the last 5 years, and I was like, yeah, this game's really good. Love that game. That's on the NES Classic, right? I don't think so.
No, but it's on the... I just got the Switch Lite, as I told you earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It's on like the store.
The
preloaded.
NES online thing. It's pretty good. I like it. So, story behind this. We mentioned that the Bubble Bobble brothers.
Bub and Bob.
Yeah, Bub and Bob. No, Bubby and Blobby. Bobby, right?
Jimmy and Bimmy.
Yes. Bubble Dragons. They were kidnapped by, Baron Von Blubba has kidnapped their girlfriends and turned them, the brothers, into Bubble Dragons. And you never see the girlfriends, even if you beat the good, get the good ending.
Aren't they in, like, little cage things at the end?
Oh, are they?
I think they're, like, little circular cage things, yeah.
But, yeah, so they, you have to beat 100 levels in order to, and in the Cave of Monsters in order to rescue them. What's your favorite part about this game?
So even though you kind of shut me down and I called it a puzzle game, the reason why I guess when I think of it as a puzzle,
it's kind of a puzzle game.
Well, because what I like is that every level can have its own like bubble physics, right? Like, you know, like, cause there's some levels where you shoot a bubble and it automatically drags it to a certain part of the room, you know, or it makes them all go down instead of float upwards. And I liked those challenges that it put in, especially as you get like later into the game. I think there's like one level where it almost feels like Space Invaders in a way, because like once you have those like diamond shaped enemies that start shooting projectiles at you, there's one level where they're all at the top of the screen in this like scaffold basically, and the only way to get to them is this is one of the levels where like, you shoot your bubbles, and depending on where you are on the screen, they either automatically pull to the left or to the right or to the center, you have to like basically build like. While you're dodging their projectiles, you have to like build a stairway ladder to get up to the top and then take them out. But and I just liked how it changed up the gameplay like that.
Yeah, and some of them like you need the lightning power up to kill some of the boss.
That's another thing too. Is like the boss fight at the end is a lot of fun. And I remember going like I was like I wish they had like. Bosses like at different points in the game because
medium
like,
drunk and a couple beers deep drunk.
Super buzzed, major buzzed. But you know, like I was like, oh, it would have been cool. Like maybe like every 25 levels, you got some sort of boss fight because I liked that change up in the gameplay.
Right. Because it's very samey.
Yeah.
I mean, the screens are colorful and they're different, but at the same time, you're hit with the same music and you're doing kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of levels, too, if you don't get a warp. Did you? So I missed it. Did you get a warp when you played there?
No.
So you played 100 levels?
I played all 100.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long do you think it took you? Like an hour and a half?
No, it was a little longer than that. I think
it was
probably about 2 hours, two and a half hours, I'd say.
So when I beat it, I definitely got a warp because we beat it in like... an hour,
yeah,
and like under an hour, so you can run through this game pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Especially if you know
just gotta stick with it.
If you know what you're looking for in terms of like power ups, which is like hard to distinguish because the power ups aren't really, they're just a color, or they have like
the lightning bolts get the lightning symbol, right. But
what do the letters do? I forget what the letters do.
I never was able to get all the letters.
I think they just give you points. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I don't know. I'm guessing something happens if you spell the word, but I would die before I could get all the letters. So.
Yeah.
I like the fire power up where it's like you hit it and it drops the fireball down and then like it lights the floor.
That's pretty cool.
That was a fun one.
Yeah. I liked the waterfall. I don't know. Is the waterfall in the NES version?
You mean like you get the bubble with like the water in it, you hit it and then like the water runs like basically over like the, through a path basically,
on
clears
the platforms.
Everything out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the NES one. That's like the first power up you encounter.
So also there's bonus stages ish where you have to get all the items before the time expires, right?
Yeah, I got a few of those. That's what I said. Like they cleared the level for me. Yeah. Like I got a couple of those. But,
okay.
I think I don't know if this is in the arcade one, but I didn't get this in my playthrough. But in the NES one, I think on level 99, there's like an item you can get that if you get it, you don't go right to the boss fight. You have to clear like 10 more challenging levels and then you get the boss fight.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, I have played those levels before, like using like passwords just to see how they were, but they are hard. They're really hard.
I remember something like that, and I always thought that you had to do something special like that to get the good ending, but it's just play with two players to get the good ending.
Yeah, when I put my 2.5 hours
don't
in.
Don't go at it alone.
It's such a weird, weird thing, because you need somebody else to play through with you to get
like,
the good ending.
I was like, can I just put a password in for like a two-player boss fight? And I didn't try it, but I was like, I wonder if I could just put like a two-player password in, get to the boss fight. You know, let the other bubble dragon die or whatever, and then just beat the game. Or do we both need to be alive just to kick me in the junk a little bit harder?
Yeah, that's not good.
Did you have a hard time with the boss?
So this time through, I didn't beat it, but I did back in, I don't remember having a hard time with the boss because I played it two players.
Yeah. It was like, at first I was like, man, it was like, this is hard. He just randomly throws all these bottles at you. Then I realized like you can trigger him to fire at you by getting in line with his eyes and that triggers him to fire. So you can like manipulate, you can basically just get in a good get in a good rhythm and just never get hit.
Yeah. I do wish there were more boss fights in this game to like kind of change it up, but the screens are still fun. I still think it's one of the, aside from, I'm trying to think of what other good co-op games there are for the NES aside from Contra and Super Contra.
Spy versus Spy.
I said good.
that's a big market tease right there. Is what that is.
Do we know any good? I'm gonna look
at Rampage.
Yeah, Rampage.
We did a whole episode on it.
It's all right. I think Bubble Ball was better than it,
though. Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, not racking my brain here for to topple Bubble Ball.
Yeah, no, I just I'm trying to like figure out what else we got here. So the first one that pops up when I Google it is Bubble Bobble. But Contra, we mentioned River City Ransom is a good one, obviously. Double Dragon 2. Because yeah. Double Dragon 1 is not co-op.
Right.
And
that's
fucking silly.
That's a crime.
Crime against humanity. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 and 3 are really good co-op games.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of beat-em-up games.
Yeah. Jackal.
Oh, yeah.
Jackal's
Akari Warrior.
Well, but Jackal's a good... I love that game.
Yeah.
Do you not like that game?
No, I like Jackal.
Come on, man. Game's good. Yeah, there's not that many co-op games for the NES. Well, there's not that many good co-op
Monster
games.
In My Pocket. I think they're just like Bubble Bobble and like a lot of those games that you named, like they can sometimes be like frustrating co-op games. Like Contra can be like a frustrating co-op game.
Chippendale?
Oh yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, because you can like scroll the screen and kill your buddy.
And this is like you're not doing any damage to each other.
Right.
You know, it's very, it's like low stress co-op.
Balloon Fight where you can pop your opponent's balloon.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, I don't have that game. I had that game growing up though. I should get that game again. Yeah, there's just, it is funny how like much we remember playing in NES back in the day, but they're all single player games. There's maybe two dozen good co-op games for the NES. So I would say that this game kind of follows in the vein of Mario Brothers too. Kind of feels like a little bit like the original Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what year did this come out, do you say,
on the NES? 86 or 87 on the NES, 86 in arcades. And then Mario Brothers came out in 83.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's still like in that first handful of years of Nintendo. I feel like this, like I said, I feel like this is a game that like, when I was growing up, I feel like everyone had this game.
Yeah, and, I didn't have this game growing up. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it just felt like something like you could play with all your friends. Right. Just like you played Super Mario.
It's not super hard. It's like Nintendo games back in the day used to be like incredibly hard.
Yeah.
And this game
it's
is
relaxing.
Not, yeah, it's nice. It's not cryptic. You know what to do.
The only thing that's the only time I found the game stressful is like when it's like you spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to get that last guy, and then like the Skeledragon pops up and starts like chasing you around. That's a that music, stresses me out in games.
The music isn't comforting at that point.
Things chasing you. Endlessly stress me out for some reason in games. Like when you pick up the key in Mario Brothers 2 and the mask comes off the wall and starts chasing you.
Oh, I love that.
Stresses me out.
I don't find that stressful at all. I'm always like, take that motherfucker. What's his name? It's Fanto. That's his name. But... I love that guy. I wish he would come back into like modern games. Like the Odyssey. You pick up and Fando chases you.
It'd probably just stress me out. So I might have to stay away from it. So
so we're primarily, for this podcast's purposes and the Endless List purposes, we're going to add the arcade and NES versions because they're very similar. And I think that this is actually a very good NES port because we played the arcade version. But I do want to mention that supposedly the ZX Spectrum version and the Game Boy versions are good.
I I mean, I've never played any of those other versions, but I was like, the Game Boy one can't be good.
ZX Spectrum is like when you go to an Asian supermarket and you go to like the food stands and you're like, oh, this is a taste different, but I like this. That's what the ZX Spectrum version is for like every game. That's just what I see in my mind. It's an acquired taste, I should say.
Okay, cool.
but people like the ZX Spectrum version of this game. I should mention that there are 21 sequels released to this game.
Which, they're not like this game at all, right? Well, I think there's some later ones.
I think Rainbow Islands is kind of like this. Yeah, that's the Game Boy version, right?
Yeah.
We're just looking at the Game Boy version.
The direct sequel is nothing like this, right? Is that Rainbow Island?
Yeah, no, it's kind of like it. Because you spew out rainbows as opposed to bubbles. And you have to get to an exit, I think, and kill the bad guys on the way.
I just saw that you're no longer a bubble dragon, so I lost interest.
Yeah. So 21 sequels this game. Should also mention that there's a Switch game coming out soon. It's like Bubble Bobble 4 or something. It's Bubble Bobble 4 Friends. It's coming out. We're recording today. It's coming out, I think, next week.
Oh, how topical.
Yeah. Right. So, Bubble Bobble for Friends is coming out. They took the dragons from this and they put them into Puzzle Bobble, which is Bust a Move.
Here
in the US.
I've seen that.
Which has about a million versions. So, they are all over the place. So, I mean, it's a quite influential. I don't know if it's influential, but it's a prolific game.
Yeah. A classic game.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's been diffused into other games. But, where does this go on our endless list, Chris? So right now, our list goes to our listeners. You can find our endless list on our Medium page. It is available for you to look at. It goes from 1 until 62 right now, which is number 1 is Super Mario 64. And number 62 is Jurassic Park Trespasser. Every week, we add a new game to our endless list.
Yeah.
Mostly weeks.
Emma.
It's judged by everything. How do we judge our games, Chris?
How much we enjoyed it, how they hold up,
graphics,
you know, gameplay,
for the day,
graphics,
if they're influential,
like the legacy of a game,
everything. We contain it all.
It's very scientific.
It's a scientific list, but it's also a very science-based type. It's all science-based. Let's just say that for this week.
We take a look at the physics of a bubble dragon.
Measure a bubble drop on the bubbles.
Bubble drop rave, yeah.
Yeah, if there's if the physics
splatter radius.
If the physics are correct on the bubbles, we get the hypotenuse. I don't know.
I just find it hard to believe that, you're going to tell me a bubble is going to encapsulate those weird mage guys that shoot fireballs. How come we can't just get out of the bubble? I don't get it.
Those are magic bubbles. Right?
Also, why does the boss of the game turn you into essentially like the creature that's going to spell his own downfall? Maybe because he is like your parents inside.
They're your drunk parents.
Yeah, but like they're like trying to get out.
Yeah.
They're not totally lost and under the control of whoever is pulling the strings behind the scenes. God, Bubble Lord deep
alcohol.
Is deep.
It's alcohol.
This is just a big metaphor for having alcoholic parents or something.
So I should mention that this game was ranked by Yahoo as their number 71 best video game of all time in 2005. Stuff Magazine named it to their 100 best games of all time. Games TM put Bubble Bobble in their 100 best games in 2010. Games Radar has it 24th best NES game. Game Informer has it in the top 300 of their all-time list, which they released in 2018. This is quite... People like this game.
Well, now Bubble Ball is about to land on the only list that matters.
The only list that matters. So, I think we should look at some co-op NES games as a point of comparison here.
That's kind of what I'm... Like, on our list, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing now.
Rampage and... River City Ransom are kind of where I'm looking.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was at, too. I was kind of... I mean, I think this is definitely a lot better than Rampage, but I was kind of more starting around...
I agree.
I was kind of starting around River City Ransom and then kind of looking up.
I don't think this game is better than DuckTales.
That's kind of where I'm at too. Let me look.
I would personally, if I were just putting this in a spot, actually, I want to ask you, if you were putting it in a spot, where would you put it?
I think you and I are kind of on the same page here. I was looking, like, when I get to DuckTales and I look at the games beyond DuckTales, I kind of go like, well, I don't think it's better than Dragon Warrior. you know.
Right, yeah, Castlevania. You know, you're not going to put it ahead of Castlevania.
Arkham Asylum. I mean, Castlevania, No Mercy. I don't think it's not better than any of those games. Right. But I mean, okay. So I guess starting with River City Ransom. You know, do I like it better? All right, so River City Ransom's number 30. 29's Call of Duty. I think it's better than the first Call of Duty.
I think it's better than the first Call of Duty. I think it's more iconic, and I think it's a better game.
Yeah.
I think it's actually like even a more complete game than that game, because that game seems like it's testing a lot of different things that are happening. A lot of new concepts.
I really like Onimusha, but well, this is a little bit more fun. It means so drastically different games, but just like,
I hate Onimusha, so
put it. I think I'm moving above that. I'm not the biggest God of War fan. I mean, I like it, but again, I think
I would. Cannot put this game ahead of God of War.
You haven't even played it. You are insane. You haven't even played it.
It does not matter.
I personally
all
would.
God of War games are good.
I would put this or game. Playable. I would put this game at 28. Is where I was thinking too.
Yeah, I mean,
which is in between Onimusha and God of War.
I haven't played Bayonetta. Which is number 27, but I don't think it's better than DuckTales.
You're putting it ahead of Spider-Man 2, apparently, too, huh? And you live and die by that game.
Yeah, well, you should have listened to that episode with Mike and you figure out why it fell where it fell.
That game is... But, most of these games on this list I enjoy somewhat.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2 I actually enjoyed a lot. It's just there were some sections in that game where it was just...
Sure.
Miserable.
Yeah, we don't have to rehash... Hash that.
Mysterio. Fuck Mysterio. I never will like Mysterio again after that game.
Yeah, you know what? I'm good with it being 28.
Okay.
That seems like a very, very good place for it.
Yeah, let's put it as our new 28 and our 63rd game added to our list.
Yeah, 28 out of 63 is a pretty good spot.
Yeah, it's in the top half. It's now the congratulations on being the 28th best game ever.
Yeah, on the only list that matters.
Right, and it might be 29 after next week. And then 30 the week after. No, I don't know. No, probably not. But yes, congratulations, Bubble Bobble, our new number 28 game on our endless list. And thank you, Chris, for joining us. Okay, thank you, Matt, for being on your first episode.
Thanks for having me.
Again, you can find our list on our Medium page. You can follow us on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod. Email us, itssobadpod@gmail.com. For all your questions, comments, concerns, suggestions that we'll probably maybe someday get around to playing like we have with previous suggestions. But yes, we will be back next week with another episode, and it will be extraordinary. Thank you so much.